Okay, today we're going to finish our series about sleep. I promise none of the Talmud Halacha shares after today, theorem after today, are going to be about sleep. But we said we're going to get into Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's understanding of the halachic status of a person who is sleeping. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Halicha Shlomo, in the volume on Tefillah, in the Miluim, in the back of the Sefer, Os Yud Beis, writes that it's obvious, he thinks it is obvious, that while a person is sleeping, he has no obligation to do any mitzvos, and that includes Kriya Shema, it includes Tefillah, because he is considered like a Shota. And that Ptur for mitzvos, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, includes both mitzvos asay, mitzvos lo asay, and he brings many, many sources to support himself, and many sources to contradict himself, and he tries to resolve all of those sources. So let's start with those that seem to go against this theory of Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Gimel and Beis tells us that a person should be woken up in order to say the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. The clear implication is you got to wake somebody up for Zman Kriya Shema. You can't let him sleep. You can't say, he's a shota anyway. He's part of a mitzvah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman just points out, if you look on Rashi in the Gemara, Rashi says that we're not talking about a person who's totally asleep. We're talking about a person who's sort of in and out, who's dozing off. And such a person, Rav Shlomo Zalman admits, is going to be obligated in Kriya Shema. But when a person is out cold, then he has no obligation at all. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim in Siman Samach Gimel, Sif Hei, when quotes this halacha, he uses the term yashin, which normally means he's completely asleep. Does not like near dam or something like that. But at the end of the sentence, he writes that the person doesn't need to be woken up for the rest of Shema, because he can read that part while he is misnamnim, while he is in this dozing in between state. So obviously, if the alternative to waking him up is to have him say Shema while dozing, the level of sleep that we're speaking about is like Rav Shlomo Zalman says, like Rashi says, that he's just sort of dozing off. But if a person is absolutely sleeping, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, my principle still stands that he is a shota. Second possible source is Gemara in Gittin, and Daf Ayinam Beza talks about a case of a guy who told someone to write and give a get to his wife, and then the person becomes deranged. So Reish Lakish paskins that he can that the get can be given while the husband is deranged, because it's similar to a sleeping person when you could certainly give a get on behalf of me. The person says, give a get to my wife, and then he falls asleep, the shliach can go ahead and give the get to the wife. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says that no, the person who is he's not talking about, the Gemara is talking about someone who's ill. The person who's ill is like a shota, and therefore he paskins that the get cannot be given on his behalf, just like cannot be given on behalf of a shota. So what comes out from that machlokes is that a sleeping person does not have the status of a shota, because you're either going to compare the person who's sick, like Reish Lakish says, to a sleeping person, or Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees, says you compare him to a shota. Therefore, it turns out that a sleeping person and a shota are not the same. Not only that, the Beis Shmuel, on the side of the page in Ebenezer, some Kuf Chaval, some Kut and Gimel, quotes that the tour that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that if the get is given while he is ill, it is a pasul get. But if it's given while he's sleeping, it's clear from the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it does work as a get, which seems to further indicate that a sleeping person is not considered to be a shota who is putter from all mitzvahs. Rav Shlomo Zalman does not bring that raya. I don't know what he would respond to that raya. My brother told me that raya, and I don't know what the response would be to that raya. It seems like a pretty strong raya. A third possible raya, the Rush in Maseches Brachos, in the first parak, Os Yud Gimel writes that the reason we don't say a bracha of Leishiv B'Sukkah when we go to sleep in the sukkah is because before we fall asleep, we have no guarantee that we're going to be able to fall asleep. And once we're asleep, we can't say the bracha because we're already sleeping. So the implication of the Rush is that if it were possible to say a bracha while we were sleeping, then we would do so because we are performing a mitzvah. So that seems to be a clear indication that a sleeping person is actually in fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh. So Shlomo Zalman brings this raya and rejects it. He says, no, the Rush, again, was not referring to someone who was fast asleep. He's referring to someone who's beginning to doze off. And at that early stage, he's still obligated to mitzvahs because he has some level of consciousness But when a person is totally out cold, then he has no chiv mitzvah at all. Raya number four, Tosas Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph, asks why we don't disqualify a korban when the owner had fallen asleep between the designation of the korban and the hakrava of the korban. After all, Tos says, we do generally have this concept of kiven de itchi, itchi. Once something is nidche from being able to be used to the mitzvah, so it remains nidche forever. So why should the sleeping person be any different than someone who became a shota in between, where we employ the concept of dichoy? So Tos explains that since the person is ultimately going to wake up, we don't view the time that he spent sleeping as a real dechia of the karban. Apparently, in the view of Tosos, sleeping person is not considered to be a shota, who's completely pater from mitzvos. So Shlomo Zalman quotes this, and he says, no, even Tosos considers a sleeping person to be a complete shota, but Tosos' point is, his condition is temporary, when he's sleeping, he's going to wake up, and it's quite natural, it's a normal way of living, as opposed to a shota, which is like an out of the ordinary event, that the person goes out of his mind. So therefore, halachically, he's considered a shota, but nevertheless, legabe karban, it's not considered to be nidche. A fifth raya, the Raman Yardea, Simon Shinayin Beis, Sif Aleph Paskins, if a Kohen is sleeping in a house, and then a person dies in the house, these things happen, right? Someone dies in the middle of the night, and there are Kohanim in that house, in that building, in the dormitory, wherever it might be. So a person has to wake up the Kohen so he could leave the house. That's a halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah. So the implication is that a person could be in violation of the Isra of Tumas Kohanim even though he's sleeping. So they say that Rav Shlomo Zalman rejected this raya as well by saying that he's not violating an Isra of Tumas Kohanim, but he is becoming Tameh, meaning even an inanimate object can become Tameh. So we want him to avoid that tumma that he's receiving by remaining in the house with the dead person. So it's not because of any isser that he's doing. So that is raya number five. Raya number six, there's a Shari Tshuva Nor Chaim Simin Tov Reish Lamed Tes, quotes of Birka Yosef, that when brothers or partners share a sukkah and the sukkah doesn't have enough room for both of them to be there at the same time, they should alternate nights sleeping in the sukkah, or if they want to be extra strict, they should each sleep half of the night in the sukkah. I mean, you have to take turns. What else are you going to do? So if, as Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests, a sleeping person is completely putter from mitzvahs, the Birkei Yosef should have suggested a better etzah, that one of them should say, you know what, I'm a vata, you can go sleep in the sukkah. Just go sleep on that rolling bed if you don't mind. Right? So that he's going to go to sleep in the sukkah, and then once he falls asleep, you sneak in, and you just roll him right out of the sukkah, and then you can go into the sukkah and sleep there, and it's not a violation of anything, because he's a sleeping person, and when he's asleep, there's no problem. The mitzvah is only to go to sleep in the sukkah. But once you're asleep, you're a shota, you're patur from everything. So why didn't he ever make such a suggestion? So Shlomo Zalman says that you can't make such a suggestion, you can't do that l'chachila. I mean, a person, the mitzvah is to go to sleep in the sukkah in a way where you're putting yourself in position to be there all night. If you're going to sleep in the sukkah having a plan to not be there, then it's not going to work. So even though a sleeping person is not chayiv in mitzvahs, you can't go to sleep in order to put yourself in the position to avoid the din of sleeping in the sukkah. Then a final raya, Rabbi Shaul Diskin, the Maril Diskin, in his commentary to Chumash in Parshas Emor, says that somebody who was sleeping before Sukkah started has to be woken up in time for Yontif so that he doesn't violate the Isser of sleeping outside of the Sukkah. The implication is that even though the person is sleeping, he's still chayiv in the mitzvah of Sukkah and is going to be considered in violation of the Isser of sleeping outside of the Sukkah unless you wake him up in time. So Shlomo Zalman doesn't respond to this directly, but he might, because I don't think he quotes the Maral Diskin, but he might argue that the Maral Diskin is not in disagreement with him, even though it wouldn't be the end of the world if he were, meaning he could have a machlokas achronim, but maybe he would argue that the Maral Diskin agrees fundamentally that a sleeping person is part of our mitzvos, and the Maral Diskin was saying that, what kind of person goes to sleep right before Yontif starts? Why would he do that? Why would, maybe it's worthwhile. The knowledge that Sukkot is going to start soon should have prevented the person from going to sleep in the first place. You don't take a nap late in the afternoon on Erev Sukkot, and his failure to consider the coming Yontif is enough reason to punish him by waking him up. Okay, so these are reasons why all, even though there are seven rayas that go against Rosh Hashanah Zalman, so why maybe none of them are rayas? Yeah, but what would motivate Rosh Hashanah Zalman to say what he said? Like, what are the rayas for Rosh Hashanah Zalman? So he has five rayas. First of all, the Talmud Yerushalmi we mentioned yesterday, maybe, according to Tosos in Baba Kama, says that when a person puts items near a sleeping person, and then the sleeping person breaks those items, the sleeping person is pata from all damages. And the reason for that patur is that he's just not responsible for actions that he does when he's sleeping. So that certainly seems to indicate that he has no chiyuvim while he's asleep. Second, Rashi and Avos Rabbi Nassim explained the reason that the Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos is so critical of morning time naps, when we discussed a couple of days ago, is because morning time naps will likely cause someone to miss Kriya Shema. So Shlomo Zalman points out that the Mishnah stops short of saying that it's usur to take a morning time nap. The Mishnah just says, Motzei Nesah Adam Minolam. But it doesn't say usur. So if it doesn't say usur, it must be because once he is sleeping, he's taka going to be butter from Kriya Shema. A third raya is from the Maril Diskin himself. Maril Diskin in a tshuva, in the Kuntros Achron Simen Sadi Zayin, points to the Mishnah in the first parak of Masechet Sukkah that says that while a person is allowed to have a board that is four tefachim wide on top of a sukkah, he's not allowed to sleep underneath that board. So Tos Yantif points out that the Mishnah could have just as easily said that he's not allowed to eat underneath that board. Why does the Mishnah, you know, there are two things you got to do in the sukkah, eating and sleeping. So why does the Mishnah say he can't sleep under the board? Well, why doesn't it just say he's not allowed to eat under the board? So the Maral Diskin explains that one might have had a Havamina that forget about sleeping under the board, you're not even allowed to sleep near the space that's under the board. Why? Because people move in their sleep. You might roll over and you might end up under the board. No, but there's no such issue. The issue is only to be under the board. Why? Why is there no such issue? Because once you're asleep, it doesn't matter if you roll over. You can do whatever you want while you're sleeping. So it's inconsequential. A fourth raya is a unbelievable comment of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that if a person somehow manages to have tashmish hamita with a woman while he is sleeping, and she gives birth to a child as a result of that, he is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of pururavu, because while he's sleeping, he's not obligated in mitzvos at all, and therefore he's pater from pururavu. He doesn't fulfill pururavu. That is extremely difficult. There is a gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph that says that a person fulfills pururavu even if he had children as a non-Jew before he converted. So you don't have to be, included in the mitzvah as we know it. You don't have to have children in this world who are halachically even related to you, apparently, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in order to be in fulfillment of pruvu. How they were conceived seems to be irrelevant. I mean, this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden seems to place an emphasis on how they were conceived, which have massive implications for the way many children are conceived nowadays, miraculously, through the miracles of modern medicine. People who previously weren't able to have children or who are trying to avoid certain genetic diseases have children in what is less than a natural way without a regular Maisa Tashmish. So Yaakov Emden is going to say none of them are Mekayim Puruvu. That would be quite a disturbing Chiddush. The Beis Shmuel in Evin Ezer Siman Aleph says that even if a woman were artificially inseminated, the father does fulfill Pruravu. Not like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And then a fifth raya is that the Pri Yitzchak in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simin Yir Aleph. Pri Yitzchak is Rav Itzla Petterberger, I think. Right, so the Pri Yitzchak in the Tshuva writes that when a person is sleeping while wearing tefillin, he's not in violation of a Hesach Hadas in his tefillin, because he's not obligated to mitzvahs at all. So it's not a violation of being Masiach Das from his tefillin. The Gemara says you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin. That's Shema Yafiach Behen, that the person might come to not be able to control his bodily functions, and that will be a bizayon to the tefillin. Yeah, but that's just because of the protection of the tefillin themselves. But as far as his own personal obligation, his own personal isr to have a hesach hadas, that would not apply. So practically, if we were to accept Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it would mean the following. If a person was sleeping and he's wearing a beged of dalit kanfos without any tzitzis, there would be no reason to wake him up and tell him to remove the garment, because at the time that he's sleeping, you can leave him with the snuggie. If the snuggie has dalit kanfos, Tanfos, and you don't have to wake him up. Second, it would mean if a person is sleeping in the sukkah, there would be no issur to remove him while he's sleeping in the sukkah, as long as he didn't plan on being removed, and there would be no reason to wake a person up if he's sleeping outside of the sukkah. Third, if a person was sleeping and the time for davening or kriya shema came up, a person would not be obligated to wake them up. The sleeping person is not chayiv in mitzvos. Shlomo Zalman points out you should probably wake the person up anyway because he's going to want the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, meaning he may not be chayiv in the mitzvah, but he's going to be upset if he ends up missing kriya shema. He certainly doesn't get credit for having fulfilled kriya shema. So like, if you don't wake up a teen camper in time for kriya shema, he's going to be so angry at you. He's going to, when he wakes up, he's going to say, what happened? How come you didn't wake me up? I didn't get to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. Not fair. So the fourth thing that would emerge, well, Shlomo Zalman doesn't explicitly discuss this case, it would seem that a person shouldn't go to sleep in an empty house knowing that while he's asleep, he'll be in violation of yichud, like a woman is going to come home in the middle. While the sleeping person is not in violation of any yisr, going to sleep with the plan of being in a prohibited situation is certainly not permitted. So if the man wakes up while still in the yichud situation, he would have to remedy the problem right away. But l'chora, according to this, if a person, if you come home, or let's say, I guess there's no practical way to say it, where you wouldn't have to wake the person up, because the awake person would have the yisur of yichud. And a fifth ramification of this is the Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the Salmas Chaim, Os Reish Chavav, paskins that you should wake up a friend who's either sleeping on his stomach or his back, because that's a violation. We discussed the other day, Gemara and Brachas Tafid Gimel and Beis. But according to Shlomo Zalman, it would be obvious that there's no reason to wake the person up, because whatever he's doing, it's while he's sleeping, and therefore it's not a problem. More likely, rather than Rav Shlomo Zalman's radical formulation, one could say that a person who is sleeping is not a shota, who's not obligated to mitzvahs at all, but in most circumstances he's what we would call an ones, that he's simply not in control of what he's doing while he's sleeping. An onus, rachmana patre. But to put him totally in the category of a shota, and that would explain why you're not allowed to put yourself in a position where you know that something is likely to happen while you sleep, because then it's not an onus. You're creating the onus. But it's very difficult to accept the idea that he is an absolute shota and therefore has no shaychus to mitzvahs whatsoever. Okay, and that concludes our discussion of sleep, our week-long discussion of sleep. Okay.